Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, I'm John Edmiston, and this is Insights for Eternity, a broadcast where we look into the Word of God and try and find the truth for your life, practical truth that you can apply. And at the moment, we've been looking at downloading grace from heaven. This is part three in the series. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you will make your Word real to us, that we'll understand it, that we'll grasp it, and we'll grasp everything that Jesus has done for us, and particularly today that we'll understand the topic of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so far as we've been going through our series and downloading grace from heaven, we've found out that grace is free. We found out there's three types of grace: prevenient grace before we get saved, justifying grace when we are saved, and then there's sustaining grace or sanctifying grace, and that's what this series is about. The grace of God that we use to get through life on a daily basis. And we've found out that grace is always free and grace is received by hearing with faith. And that's the way we download grace into our life. And we finished the last session by looking at Hebrews 4:16, where we found out that we have a throne of grace and we can go to that throne of grace in time of need to get all we need to do the good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to do. So we receive grace by hearing with faith. And when the grace arrives in our life, we go out with the abundant grace that God supplies to us, and we do all the wonderful works that He's called us to do as human beings and which make our life meaningful. So let's just go back to Ephesians 2:8-10. And we keep going back to these verses over and over again because they're the foundation. These verses help us to get a grasp on what happens with grace. That we don't work for grace, but grace works for us. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So grace comes into our life, and then we do good works. We don't do good works in order to get grace. Rather, we receive grace by hearing with faith. We receive the grace into our life through faith. And then the grace arrives and changes our hearts and lives so we can do the good works that God has called us to do. So we went through this extensively in the last downloading grace from heaven thing. And today we're going to look at application a little bit more. And so we're going to look at how grace relates to the spiritual gifts that we receive from God, like healing and miracles and administration and things like that. And let's look at that in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And the chapter starts off by saying, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So at the beginning of the chapter, it's talking about us doing the will of God and being consecrated to God and receiving his grace into our life so that we do that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We're going to jump down a little bit now to verse 6. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he teaches in his teaching, or he exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so the grace of God is mentioned in verse 6. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So grace is given to you and it results in a spiritual gift in your life. So grace is given, it differs according to the grace given to you. So I have a grace given to me as a Bible teacher. And grace flows through me as I try and teach. I don't seem to have the grace of God for administration. I have to get other people to do that, because that's not the way that God has made me to be. It's not the grace that God's given to me. He's given me the grace of being a Bible teacher, and His manifold grace of God works through me as a teacher and might work through you as an evangelist or a pastor or various other things, or someone who shows mercy. So the grace of God comes down from heaven, and then the grace of God works in our life so that we can do the good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to do. And in order to do those good works, we have to have a spiritual gift of some sort. And that's what Paul's talking about here in Romans. And so, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, so the grace is the source of the gift, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, of service in his serving, he who teaches in his teaching, and so on. He who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So these are all outcomes of the grace of God operating in your life and in my life. And later on, we're going to look at 1 Peter 4:10, which says it's the manifold grace of God. There are so many, many, many different ways of the grace of God operating in our life. There are some people who talk about there's only 9 gifts and they're listed in 1 Corinthians 12. No, there's at least 30 mentioned in the New Testament and many, many more, because God's grace is manifold. It comes out in many, many different ways through different people. So someone like Dorcas in the New Testament, her grace came out in making things for widows. She had the gift of helps, and she was really, really good at making clothes for widows and shawls and these things like that. She was great at crochet and knitting and sewing. And that's how the grace of God flowed through Dorcas. Through other people, it comes through hospitality. Other people are really good at knowing how other people are feeling and helping them to feel better. And so the grace of God flows through us in multiple ways so that we can do all the good works that God has prepared for you and I. So before we do those good works, we have to receive the grace, which is why we go to the throne of grace in time of need. We believe and we receive and then we act. We believe, we receive, and then we act. And the grace of God acts through us as a member of the body of Christ. Before this, in verse 3, Romans 12, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." So I'm a member of my church, Rolling Hills Covenant Church here in Los Angeles. Other people are members of their churches, but more importantly, we're all a member of the great universal body of Christ. And as a member of that body, I'm a teacher and someone else is a pastor and someone else is an evangelist, and we're not to be envious of one another. Each of us is an outcome of the grace of God. Each of us has a measure of faith that's given to us. Our faith's a gift and our grace is a gift. And they're all given to us so that we can do good works. We can be merciful, we can be kind, we can do administration, we can teach, we can reach others with the gospel, and so on and so forth. So the grace of God is diverse, and it flows from heaven into your life, and it comes out as a spiritual gift. And in the Greek, in the New Testament Greek, which is the original language of the Bible, it's all related. So the word grace is charis or charitos, depending on how it's used. But the word for a spiritual gift is a charisma or a charismata. So the same word, charis, is the root word of all these things. So when you see a gift, it's actually grace gift. It's a charisma or a charismata for plural. So you will find that the gift of God operating within you is an outcome of the grace. The words are related. Grace and gift are the same word in the Greek, or they're derived from the same word in the Greek. They're not different things. The charismata, the gifts, flow from the charis, which is the grace of God. They're a direct outcome of the grace of God working in your life. They're the fruit of the grace of God. They're the way that the grace of God works through you. So your spiritual gift isn't something that you achieve through your own competence, your own brilliance, and things like that. The spiritual gift you have and you've received from God That spiritual gift is an expression of the grace of God. It's a result of the grace of God. So God, in His grace, has given you that spiritual gift, and now you're expressing that, and you're expressing Christ to the world through that gift. So hopefully, when I teach, I'm expressing Christ to the world. It's His grace coming to me and working out through me. When someone else serves and helps, they are expressing Christ to the world as someone who serves and helps. And when someone's an evangelist, they're expressing Christ to the world through the gift of evangelism and discipleship. So we've got to see the relationship between charis, grace, and charismata, gifts. It's a direct linear relationship. We can only express our gifts as we've got the grace. And this whole series is about downloading grace from heaven. You can't serve in the ministry in your own strength. You can only serve by downloading grace from heaven into your mind, soul, body, and spirit. And you download that grace so that you can be a good Christian and you can do the good works that God's called you to do. So when I minister, when I teach not out of my own intellect and not out of my own Bible training, though I've got plenty of that, and that was a good thing for me to do. I don't despise Bible training. I did 6 years full-time theological training after a degree in chemistry. So I've got a lot of education, but the education isn't the qualification. The education is simply a part of the preparation. It's the way that God used me. He used that education to make my grace cleaner and better and wiser in some way. So God set me through that, and by the grace of God, it was all paid for by Him as I went through it. So your theological education, yes, it's important, especially if you're going to be a teacher, but it's not your power. The power comes from God. The power comes from the grace of God that operates in your life and strengthens you to do the work. So all sufficiency for every need comes from the grace of God, and you've got to download that grace if you're going to minister as a pastor or a Bible teacher or evangelist. And you're going to even have to download that grace if you're going to be a mother of three small children. You're going to need the grace of God. And let's just jump from there over to the next thing, Ephesians 4, 7 to 12. Go to the right in your Bible, over to Ephesians chapter 4. And we find a little more about the grace of God and the spiritual gifts. And we might go right down to verse 16. Ephesians 4, verse 7 to 16. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he left captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men, and they're spiritual gifts. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So Jesus has ascended into heaven. He wants to fill all things with himself and impart grace to us. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body, the building up of itself in love. Well, that's a very long passage, and it's a complicated passage, but it's going to help us to understand how grace and spiritual gifts tie together. So grace is given to us according to the measure of Christ's gift. The grace then is worked out as a gift. These apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, they're appointed by the grace of God, and they are a result of Christ's ascension into heaven. He's filling all things. And then what do? They equip the saints for the work of service so that everyone can be a mature person. So everyone can be in the image of God, and everyone can have the fullness of Christ and grow up in all aspects unto him. So the purpose of your spiritual gift isn't for you to be a spectacular person up the front of the church. Yeah, you receive God's gift, and then it becomes a spiritual gift. You use that spiritual gift, and the purpose of it is to help people to be perfect in Christ. You're helping each person to be strong, to be perfect in Christ, to be obedient, to fulfill his commandments, to grow up in all aspects into Christ. So every human being, every Christian that's a born-again, Bible-believing Christian has to grow up in all aspects unto Christ. So our gifts are to help the body of Christ to become mature. So what I'm teaching you now, I want you to be perfect in Christ. I want you to be mature. I don't want you to stay as a babe. I don't want you to be tossed around by every wind of doctrine. I don't want you to be caught up by those who are deceitful schemers who want to rip you off financially. You've noticed that I'm not asking you to send in tons of money to my ministry. This is all free. I'm not trying to rip you off. So God is giving us a spiritual gift. He's giving us spiritual gifts so we may do good deeds that result in people becoming mature Christians. And so you're to rebuke, you're to warn, you're to teach, you're to serve, you're to lead, whatever God's given you to do, so that people will be made perfect in Christ. And that's what the apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and so on are there for. They're there to help people to walk in Jesus Christ. So the whole reason for the grace of God is, first of all, that you will grow in Christ, that you will grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you grow in Christ, you will also cause other people to grow in Christ, that your bit in the body will work, whether you're a toe or a finger or an eye or an ear or a mouth or a muscle or a ligament. Whatever part of the body you are, as you do your bit, you will cause the body of Christ to grow up. And if you say, well, I'm just a ligament, I just hold a couple of bits together, but holding those couple of bits together is very, very important. And if you've ever cut a tendon or a ligament and you've been disabled for a little while because that ligament has been torn, you'll know what it's like. So if you're a ligament, do your job, hold things together. And the joints and everything else which God supplies, we're all a part of the body of Christ. And the grace of God is given to us for ourselves, but also for our church, and also for other Christians, and also so that the world can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The grace isn't given to you so it can go stale inside you. It's not given to you so you can just keep it to yourself and feel happy. There's people going around as Christians and they're jumping up and down and they're feeling happy and they're wearing the t-shirt and they've got all the stickers and the Bibles and the books, but it's staying inside them. It's not coming out in acts of service. It's not coming out in acts of love. So you've got to go and get involved in your church. You've got to get involved in ministry. You've just not got to sit there and listen to the radio and Bible teaching and saying, that was nice. We're teaching you so that you will grow in the grace of God and you'll go out and you'll do good and wonderful things as God empowers you to do so. So the grace of God has to have an effect in your life. The grace of God has to come out and start moving. And let's go to the next verse in our little series here. I'm going to jump over to 1 Peter. And I know this just sort of seems like a little jump on the radio here, but I'm going to come back to Ephesians in a minute. So it's 1 Peter and 4. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a special gift, a spiritual gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So let's go back to verse 10. It says, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You are to be a steward. You're to be someone who takes care of the grace of God that's poured out into your life. And Peter uses the word manifold, which means a multifaceted. There's many, many kinds of the grace of God that are going to operate around in your life and other people's lives. And so God may give you the grace to be on radio. God may give you the grace to be someone who's a great craftsman like Bezalel, who built the Ark of the Covenant. God may give you grace to be a great sound technician at church. God may give you grace to be someone that's terrific at teaching children. So the manifold grace of God keeps on pouring out because God's very creative. And so his creativity is going to come out through you. How do you know when it's the grace of God? Because you feel happy doing it, because it's easy for you. it flows, and you find a great spiritual joy when you're doing that thing, and you can get lost doing it. I can get lost Bible teaching. I can spend all day in the Word of God. It's easy for me, but when I get into administration and into finances, after 10 minutes, I'm tearing my hair out. It's not my gift at all. Other people have to do that. So God is going to give you something that feels easy to you and looks amazing to other people. So these people that have terrific healing ministries, they find it easy. They go out there, they work hard at it, but they think healing is a complete cinch, that it's the easiest thing that they've ever done. And they go out there and they pray for people, and the lame walk and the blind see, and they have an amazing ministry. I have a friend called Paul Rapley, and he does these healing crusades, and terrific things happen, and God turns up. And God bless him. He's got a terrific healing ministry. And so each of us needs to bless each other, and we need to be good stewards of the gift that God has given us. And we go out and we use it, and it flows through us, and the grace of God comes to you. Whether you're interested in teaching children, and teaching children makes you happy in your heart, and you know this is what God's called you to do, and you just love getting down with those grade one and grade two children or whatever, and you love teaching them about Jesus or teaching them about anything, and your life is fulfilled when you do that. That's the grace of God moving through you. And you sense that God is with you when you do that one thing. And so you say, okay, God's called me to teach children or whatever God's called you to do. And then you go and you perfect that. You figure out what's the best way to teach children. What's the best craft? What's the best illustrations? How can I do this lesson better? What's a good supply of lessons for the kids? And you work at it, and you're a good steward of the grace of God. So your lessons are the best lessons that have ever been taught, because you're being a good steward of the grace of God. Some people are very lazy. They take other people's sermons and preach them without effort or stress. They don't work in the Bible. They don't get out there and do the hard evangelism. If you're called to be an evangelist, do some of the hard evangelism as well as the easy evangelism. Get out there and suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to do the difficult bits. You've got to learn how to do your job well as a good steward of the grace of God. So if you're a pastor, learn how to be a terrific pastor. If you're an evangelist, learn how to be a terrific evangelism and work at it. As a Bible teacher, I had to work at the Greek and the Hebrew and the church history and all that kind of thing. That was part of being a good steward of the grace of God. God gave me a teaching gift. I have to perfect that gift. So whatever God's given to you, you go and you be a good steward of the gift. Now let's try and put this back in order. We receive grace through faith. That grace is given to us so we can do good works that God has foreordained for us to do. So when we're going out to do those good works, we need grace again. We need the charismata grace. We need the charisma. We need a spiritual gift so we can do spiritual work. And that spiritual gift might be healing. It might be administration. It might be serving. It might be teaching. It might be one of many, many different things. And so you receive the spiritual gift so that you can do the spiritual work. Why? So we're going to build up the body of Christ. You're not just there to build up yourself. You're to help every single person in the body of Christ be mature. And you might say, well, my spiritual gift is cooking. How does that mature the body of Christ? Well, if your spiritual gift is cooking for a conference and I'm speaking at that conference, you're part of the body. You're making sure that everyone gets fed at the conference when I turn up to speak. And let me tell you something, as someone who's been doing conferences for nearly 40 years, if the cooking's bad, no one learns anything. So the cook is absolutely essential. People love a good lunch, they love a good dinner, and it's no use me teaching if the food's lousy, because people will just walk away and say, this is a terrible conference. People don't remember the sermons, but they do remember the food, and they'll come back again next year if the food's good. So if you say that your spiritual gift is just cooking, it's just making meals for conferences and churches, that's an essential spiritual gift. And you might say, but my spiritual gift is just accountancy. I'm just good at the finances of the church. Well, if the finances aren't done well, I can't teach and the pastor can't preach. So if you're an accountant, if you're the finance person, you're part of the body, you do your bit in the body and I do my bit in the body, and all together the body works well. And so you use your grace gift that you've got, even if it isn't an upfront grace gift, even if it's a behind-the-scenes one like security or helping with the parking, it all helps. The body of Christ all works together when everyone does their bit. And the grace of God will flow out through you to the world, and you'll get a reward as someone who participated in that event. So if I'm teaching at a conference and someone else is cooking and someone else is doing security and parking and someone else is doing the sound system and someone else is doing the lights and someone else is doing the registration, they're all part of that event. I'm just the mouth. I'm just the teacher. And everyone's rewarded together by God for making that event happen and strengthening the body of Christ in that place and that time. So we all work together, and God gives the reward as he apportions it, and no one's up and no one's down, which is why we need to be humble. But each of us uses our gift, and we need to perfect our gift, and we need to be a good steward of that gift as we build up the body of Christ. So if you're the sound technician, if you're doing the sound, make sure you're a really good sound technician. If you're a cook, then cook fantastically. If you're an accountant, make sure you're accurate and diligent in your accountancy work and you don't embezzle or do anything crooked. And if you're a pastor, shepherd your flock with due diligence and be kind and gracious to them, not being overbearing. So as we use our gifts, we use them in a team. We're in a combination. We're each part of the body of Christ. And no one's more important than anyone else. Of course, the apostles, the original 12 apostles were, but very important. But for us here in these days, we all work together to get the result that God wants. And so we all labor together to build up the body of Christ. So the grace of God results in the works of God done by the gifts of God. And we have to download all of that from heaven. And I'm running out of time, but next week we're going to learn more about downloading grace from heaven. So hang with us here in Insights for Eternity. It's a really important series, Downloading Grace from Heaven, and you can download the studies from NewTestamentPrayer.com. This is John Edmiston signing off. God bless you all.
Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.